to Ricky Jin's Old Time Radio. We have a cracker of a show for you tonight, gals and gents. Wash your black heads, grab a seat, and enjoy this episode of Gunsmoke, entitled Never Pass to Chester.
Territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers. That's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun smoke. Starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Sure is hot today, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah.
Used to get hotter in Sweetwater, though.
Texas?
Yes, sir. But I wasn't there very long.
No. What'd you do there, Chester?
Oh, I was a salesman, Mr. Dillon.
Salesman? Well, what'd you sell?
Lightning rods.
Lightning? Oh.
Well, now, they're good things to have, Mr. Dillon. Why, I had a line of lightning rods.
Well, now, don't
rods
explain
you...
it to me, Chester. Too hot.
Well, I'll go get us some beer. Maybe that'll help.
I don't think I want any beer, Chester.
Well, then, why don't you just go take a siesta, Mr. Dillon? I'll stay here in the office.
Why don't you just leave me alone, huh?
All right, Mr. Dillon.
Hey, Marshal.
Yeah, what do you want, Doc? A
couple of cowboys been feeling their liquor over at the Texas Trail.
That's what saloons are for, isn't it?
Yeah, they were giving Kitty a bad time.
Oh?
She got rid of them now. But they're down at the end of Front Street now, making remarks and pestering the town ladies. It just might lead to trouble.
Well, I'm not going to walk down there in this heat just to lecture a couple of hard-nosed cowboys.
I'll go, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, good, Chester. You go, huh? Just tell them to take it easy and leave the ladies alone.
Yes, sir, I will, Mr. Dillon.
Hey, lady. You ever been to Texas? Real men down there. Not like these short grass Kansas.
All right, boys. Now, that's enough.
Who's this?
A preacher, maybe.
Boys, Marshal Dillon sent me down here.
And we're going to send you right back, fella.
Mr. Dillon said you can have all the fun you like, but to leave the ladies alone.
That's the whole dang trouble, these Dodge ladies. They've been left alone too long.
Yeah, what they need is a couple of big-handed Texas men. Yep.
Look, now why don't you go over there to the Alfaganza? I'll buy you both a beer.
You will, huh? Well, that's mighty thoughty of you, mister.
We just don't want any trouble, that's all.
Sure we don't. And I got an idea how we won't have any. Wait till I get on my horse here. Stay with our friend a minute, Trevitt.
Hey, mister, I'll make a bet.
What kind of bet? What do you mean?
Any kind. You name it. Come on.
Well, but I don't...
I got him! He spilled his gun, Trevitt. Pick it up and grab your horse.
Get this rope off of me.
Maybe it'll wear off, mister. You're going for a ride.
Drag him, Tobo, drag him. Let's go!
Chester, Marshal.
What? Who got Chester?
A couple of cowboys. They roped him and dragged him out of town. Come on.
Well, which way?
West. I'm going with you. Hurry.
Come on, right.
Hey,
There they are, but they're not dragging anything.
They must have cut him loose. Oh, there he is by that sagebrush. Chester. Chester. Get that rope off his feet, Colonel. Look at him. He's bleeding all over. They tore him to ribbons.
I'll stay with him, Marshal, if you'd like to.
No, Shiloh. Go get our horses up. I'll get him back to the dock right away.
All right, Marshal.
So long, Chester. I got you now. We'll be at the dock soon. Easy, Chester. Easy, fella. Easy now.
I'll carry him when you get tired, Marshal.
I won't get tired, Shiloh. Not for a long time. Well, Doc?
Yeah, he's in bad shape, Marshal. The worst is something's bothering his breathing. I don't know what it is. We'll just have to wait and see if it goes away. If he lives the next few days, he'll pull through.
Oh, Doc.
I know. But I'll stay right here with him.
Why did I have to send him? Why didn't I go?
Oh, and I don't blame yourself,
I
Marshal.
I told him to go, didn't I?
Yes, but...
Doc, can I talk to him?
No, Marshal, no. Not for a while.
All right, then. Would you tell him this for me? They're going after those men. I'm going to bring them back. Alive. Or at least half alive. In the street outside, waves of heat move back and forth, making things seem unreal. Like Chester lying up there at docks. That seemed unreal somehow. I walked down to the jail and I went inside and I sat there for a while. And then all at once I got up and unbuckled my guns and I hung them on a peg behind the desk. And I went over to the Texas Trail.
I'm over here, Matt. Sit down. Matt, I heard about Chester. How is he?
Doc doesn't know for sure.
Oh.
They were in here bothering you. Who were they, Kitty?
I never saw them before. One was a kind of weasel-faced man named Trevitt.
And the other?
Big man. Real brute. Named Stobo, I think.
I see. What outfit, they say?
Would it be the Crow Track?
Yeah, the Crow Track's holding a herd up the river. Thank you, Kitty.
Wait a minute, Matt.
Yeah?
No business of mine to ask, but where are your guns?
It would have been easier for Chester if they'd have shot him and killed him.
But I don't see...
So I'm not going to shoot them. If Chester dies, I'll see him hanged. Otherwise...
Otherwise what, Matt?
I don't know. But I'm going to bring him back and we'll wait and see.
You're taking an awful chance.
Maybe.
Oh, Matt. Please be careful.
Sure. Kitty?
Yeah, Matt.
Look in on Chester once in a while, will you? Maybe.
Oh, of course I will. Don't worry about him.
Thank you, Kitty. So long.
Marshal.
What is it, Shiloh?
I'll walk outside with you.
Marshal, I want to ride after those cowboys with you.
No, Shiloh, I'm going alone. But we could use you here at the jail.
Here?
I'm going to take two prisoners. I don't know when or how, but I need a jailer when they come in.
So I'll bring them in with you, and then I'll...
No.
That's something I have to do alone.
Marshal, you're a stubborn man. But okay, I'll do it.
Keys are in my desk. Here's my horse. I'm going now.
Wait a minute, Marshal. You're not armed.
I know it, Charlo. Goodbye. Who's the trail boss here? Where is he?
Here I am. And I don't need any riders.
Maybe not, but you got two riders I need.
How's that? Just what do you want, mister?
That's the Crow Track outfit, isn't it?
That's right.
I'm looking for a couple of your men called Stobo and Trevor.
They ain't here, mister.
And where are they?
They come back this afternoon, picked up the gatherings and left. Didn't even wait to get paid off. I'm telling you this just because they're no good, and I'm glad they're gone.
Which way'd they go?
I wouldn't tell you if I knew, mister.
I didn't think you would.
Who are you, anyway?
I'm a U.S. Marshal out of Dodge.
That's so? Well, I don't know what you want them for, and I don't care, but how you going to take them, Marshal? Put salt on her tail? You ought to at least take a club if you're going after that Stobo. He's mean. He's big. Besides being a Texan.
We've hung Texans up here before, mister.
Marshal?
Yeah?
I heard Stobo and Trevitt say they were heading west, following the Arkansas.
Where are you from, son?
Texas. Near Waco.
And what are you sniveling around informing on these men for?
That Stobo kicked me. Knocked me down and kicked me.
All right, son, I'll ride along the Arkansas. But you ride back to Texas and learn how to fight your own battles.
We will return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment, but first, the conventions start next Monday when the Republican Party takes over Chicago. CBS Radio's greatest reporting names and a core of technical experts manning mobile units and studios covering the convention floor and corridors are all set to bring you history as never before. Whatever happens, wherever it happens, you'll miss nothing when you tune in the conventions on CBS Radio starting next Monday. Now, the second act of Gunsmoke.
I cut straight down to the Arkansas and followed it west. I rode close to the water where I could use the sound of it for only my cover. After an hour or two, I spotted a hobbled horse alone. Stobo and Trevitt must have separated. I got down and followed the animal's tracks as best I could in the moonlight until I caught the dying coals of a campfire on the bank ahead. To one side, I could make out the huddled figure of a man asleep in his blanket. It took a long time to crawl to his head where I saw the weasel face of a man, Trevitt. His gun belt lay on a saddle blanket in easy reach. I stood up and heaved it out to the river. And as Trevitt sat up with a snap, I kicked him back.
Don't shoot! Don't shoot!
You sit up again and I'll smash your skull, Trevitt.
Don't kill me. Don't kill me.
Shut up. Now, where's your rope? I told you to lie down. Now, where's your rope?
Under my saddle. You gonna lynch me?
No. But you may hang legally if you live that long. Now, keep your arms not blanketed and lie still while I get you roped up here.
Who are you, mister?
Yeah, that'll do it. Let's just say I'm a good friend of a man you dragged out of Dodge this morning.
Stobo was in on that, too.
It was his idea. He did it.
Don't worry. I'll find Stobo.
You ain't going to leave me like this.
I'll be back.
You ain't even carrying a gun.
Too bad for you, I'm not. Now, Trevor, I'm going to throw you across my horse and tie you on. He'll take you into Dodge right to the jail. When you get there, tell Shiloh who you are, if you can still talk. He'll give you a nice, clean cell.
You're the marshal.
I'll be back when I find Stobo.
You can't do it, Marshal. I'll die in that sun. Ride like that across a horse. No, no, listen. Stobo's about a mile upriver. We had a row and I left him. See, I told you, Marshal. Let me go now.
Trevitt, how would you like to go to Dodge behind my horse with a rope around your
heels? No, don't, Marshal. Don't kill me.
I'll pack you on now. I tied Trevitt across my horse and started him off in the direction of Dodge, and then I forgot about him. Stobo was next. I rode west on Trevitt's horse. Dawn was just breaking when I saw him, crouched behind a campfire, cooking breakfast. His horse was saddled and stood nearby. I rode straight up, got down, and walked over.
You lost, stranger?
No. I'm not lost. Elbow.
No tricks, mister. I don't see a gun, but no tricks.
Relax, Stobo. I'm unarmed.
Who are you?
Matt Dillon. I'm U.S. Marshal. Out of Dodge.
You're a long way from Dodge, Marshal.
Stobo, you and your pal had some fun with a friend of mine yesterday. You hurt him bad. Maybe you killed him.
You rode out here without a gun to tell me that? You're the craziest marshal I ever saw. I'm going to shoot you, Marshal, and bury you in the river. What do you think of that?
I expected you would.
Huh?
But unless you want it on your conscience that you refuse to feed a man on the trail, you better give me a piece of that pork first.
You're about the coolest man I ever saw, Marshal.
Do I eat?
Sure you do. Sure. You just stand right there across the fire and don't move. I have to shoot you before you've been fed.
I know.
It's too bad I only got one dish for your last meal, Marshal.
A man can keep sassy on meat alone, Stobo.
Yeah, he sure can. Well, looks about done. At least this here piece says you can't...
All right, I got your gun, Stobo, so don't try anything.
You burn me! You burn me!
Just a few coals, it won't hurt you. Now shut up and get on your horse.
I'll kill you for this, Marshal. You can't hurt me like that.
On your horse! Come on now. Get up there. Now you just sit there, Stobo. I'm going to throw a noose around your neck, so keep your hands down. There now. Now you ride toward Dodge. And you do anything I don't like, and I'll jerk you off your horse and drag you the rest of the way. Now ride. Jail's on the left. You see it?
I see it.
All right, pull up. Shiloh! Shiloh!
Well, hello, Marshal. This other one?
Yeah. Trevitt, get here.
More dead than alive, but he's here. It was rough, Marshal. Real rough.
Yeah. Shiloh, how about Chester? Tell me.
Doc ain't sure yet, but he's alive.
Lock Stobo up. I'm going over to Doc's.
All right, you get down. And walk straight, or I'll shoot you through both knees.
Chester was asleep. But the doc let me take a look at him.
Seemed to me he had more trouble breathing than before. But the doc said another day might see him out of it. And there was nothing I could do. So I went up for a steak and some sleep. And the next morning, I went back to the jail.
Morning, Marshal.
Everything all right, Shiloh?
Doc looked over your prisoners. Trevor's pretty sick yet, but Stobo's all right. Got a few burns is all. Nothing could hurt that moose.
A hanging might.
Sure, but what if Chester pulls through?
You can't hold us in, Marshal. There's no law that says...
I don't like the sound of your voice, Trevor.
But you can't
be
hold
quiet.
Us. Don't worry, Trevor. There's nothing...
You too, Stobo! Shut the door, Shiloh. I don't even want to look at him.
That Stobo's a mean one, but I feel kind of sorry for Trevor.
And go cry about it someplace else. I don't feel sorry.
Don't you take it out on me, Marshal. I didn't send Chester off to do my job.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Go get some breakfast, Shiloh. I'll wait here now.
I'll be back later.
Hello, Marshal.
Doc? What is the doc coming?
Chester. He's going to be all right.
You sure?
Why, of course, Marshal. His breathing suddenly changed. The pressure's off somewhere. Oh, he's going to be fine.
That's good. That's good.
Of course, he'll be in some pain for a while yet, but...
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Doc. I'll come see him in a little while.
I'll tell him for you, Marshal.
All right, come on, Trevin.
Where to?
Come on, I said.
What's up, Marsh?
I'll be back for you, Stobo. I'll get going.
Come on! It was Stobo, did it? Not me. You can't do anything to me.
Shut up. Trevitt, your horse is down at the National. Go get on it.
You turning me loose?
Get your horse and ride, and don't ever come back to Dodge, not while I'm alive. Now go on before I change my mind.
Yeah, sure, I'll go.
You're next, Stobo.
What you do with Trevor? Put a knife in him?
I turned him loose. Now come on, get out of that cell.
Am I free, too?
You will be in a little while.
Tell the doc, Marshal. Chester's... Hey, where are you going with Stobo?
Gonna shoot me in the back, probably. That right, Marshal?
I'm gonna do what I should have done 3 days ago when I sent Chester after you. Bring him outside, Shiloh.
Let's go, Stobo. Slow and easy.
Bring him over here, Shiloh.
You're gonna drag me, is that it? You try that.
That's what you do, isn't it, Stobo?
Don't try.
Never mind. Shiloh, hold my guns. Here.
What the?
Oh, I get it. You're gonna fight me. Well, Marshal, you're crazy, and I thought. Why, I'll tear your throat out.
If he wins, let him go, Shiloh.
Maybe I will.
I said you'll let him go.
All right, Marshal, all right. Maybe you're crazy, but I guess this is your party.
Come on, Marshal. I'll make it short for you. Real short.
Stand back, everybody. Get back, do you hear?
You're big, Stobo. But you're stupid. You're ugly, stupid.
Why, you... I'll kill you! I'll kill you!
No!
Give me my gun, Scala.
Here. You don't look too good, Marshal. I'd better get that doc.
He's hurt, but he isn't dead. If he can't ride, throw him on a stage. But get him out of here. If I see him again, I'll shoot him. Chester? Can I come in?
Yes, Mr. Dillon. My, what happened to you?
I've been lecturing a couple of hard-nosed cowboys. One in particular.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry, Mr. Dillon. Those two sort of got the drop on me.
Yeah, they sure did.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah.
I've been thinking, and...
Yeah? What is it, Chester?
Well, Mr. Dillon, I'm not much help to you here. Maybe I better just...
That's enough, Chester.
Well, but I've been thinking...
Well, just stop thinking.
Yes, Mr.
Now, look, Chester, I'm going to tell you something. I need you here. You see, you're the only man in Dodge I can really trust. The only one.
Yes, sir. Well, you can trust me, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, I know. I'm thanking you, Chester. But you're sure no help to me lying there, you know. No help at all.
Well, I don't aim to stay here long. The doc says I'll be up and around again...
Look, Chester, I tell you what. I'll go get patched up, and then we'll make Kitty come over and fix us some steaks, and we'll have some beer, too, huh? Well, what do you say?
That'd be fine, Mr. Dillon. My. I'd sure like that.
Gunsmoke, transcribed under the direction of Norman MacDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was especially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in tonight's cast were Paul Dubov, Lou Krugman, and Georgia Ellis, with Don Diamond, Gil Stratton, and Jack Crucian. Parley Bear is Chester, and Howard McNear is Doc. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Meet Millie. This delightfully funny little secretary is heard from every Sunday evening here on CBS Radio. Audrey Totter stars as Millie, a gal with a one-track mind on the subjects of love and marriage, especially where the boss's son is concerned. Remember, you can now meet Millie every Sunday night on most of these same CBS radio stations. This is Roy Rowan speaking. Remember, tune in history starting next Monday. Hear the Republican Convention on the CBS Radio Network.
why do those kids need cars? I bet they're driving drunk. Should we sell them to the Chinese fish? Welcome back to Ricky Jin's Old Time Radio. Now enjoy this episode of The Saint, entitled Santa Claus is No Saint.
Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes transcribed to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as the Saint.
Come in.
Hi, Mr. Templeton.
Oh, hello, Louie.
Where are you?
I'm in my room. I'll be ready in a minute.
Hey, wait till you see my cap. I gave it a bath for Christmas.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah. Look, I don't want to rush you, but if you don't hurry, Christmas Eve is going to be already Christmas morning, and what'll all them tots think?
Oh, them tots will be singularly fortunate. However, all I have to do now is get my whiskers on. There. How do I look?
Mr. Templar, if I didn't know you was Mr. Templar,
yes.
I wouldn't know who you were.
Hmm. Louis, don't I look like Santa Claus?
This may come as a surprise to you, Mr. Templar. Santa Claus is fat.
Oh.
You're not fat.
Oh. Well, hand me that cushion from the couch, huh?
Okay. Here.
Yeah, thank you. Now then. How's that?
Now say ho, ho, ho.
What for?
Santa Claus is always say ho, ho, ho.
Oh, I see. Ho, ho, ho.
Well, anyway, you look like Santa Claus. Hey, Mr. Temple, whose idea was this?
Mrs. Winterbottom's.
Oh, the dame who annoys tots on Christmas Eve.
Mrs. Winterbottom is a very well-known philanthropist, and every Christmas Eve she collects hundreds of small children and feeds them.
Yeah. Who feeds them the rest of the year?
Don't be bitter, Louis.
Sorry.
At least I ought to give the little tots a laugh.
Yeah. And I suppose there is something to be said for Mrs. Winterbottom.
Don't say it now.
Don't worry.
There's something to be said for Santa Claus, too. He does go around filling stockings.
Yeah, I know a blonde. Shouldn't say that either, huh?
No. Someone at the door. Louis, would you mind?
It's probably one of them tots. Correction, it's a tot 20 years later.
Get in.
I'm already in.
Back up.
I'm backing up.
Thanks. Now reach, gents.
You know, that gun in her hand looks loaded.
Now that you mention it.
Reach.
For what?
The chandelier.
I can't.
Why not?
No chandelier.
Oh, a wise guy, huh?
If you're going to shoot me, I insist on knowing your name.
Just call me Sally.
Sally. And your last name?
Never mind that. How would you like to get plugged in the...
Breadbasket?
Where?
Oh, let's pass lightly over that. I wouldn't like to get plugged anywhere.
And shut up.
All right.
Where is it?
Right down the hall.
Are you trying to be smart?
Not especially.
So it's going to be like that, huh?
Like what?
Now you listen to me, Fats Boylan.
Huh?
You shut up, too.
I didn't say anything.
Well, shut up anyway.
I'm shutting up.
What was I saying?
You just finished calling me Fats Boylan.
That's right.
That's wrong. I'm not Fats Boylan.
Huh.
Well, it helps keep the conversation
Look,
going.
Look, Fats, are you going to stop stalling and hand over the stuff, or will I have to shoot?
Since I am not Fats Boylan, and since I have no stuff to hand over, I'm afraid you'll have to shoot.
Mr. Templar, that could be fatal.
You keep quiet, punk.
Who's a punk?
You're a punk.
Mr. Templar, am I a punk?
Well, Sally is just a little confused this evening,
confused
Louis.
Confused or not, she shouldn't call me a...
Oh, shut up!
You know, you don't have to start bawling.
I am not... I am.
You were just about to shoot me.
Well, I know, but then you'd bleed.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can't stand the sight of blood.
Why don't you strangle him?
Louis, don't be unkind. It seems to be the doorbell again.
No, wait.
Oh, it's very impolite to keep people waiting.
But I must have been followed here.
Sally, look, stop illustrating a point with that gun. It might go off.
I don't care.
But then I'd bleed.
But where can I go? I've got to hide.
Well, try the kitchen.
All right.
Well, come on in. It's open house tonight.
Well, well, my old pal, Fat...
I am not.
Boylan.
Although I'm beginning to waver. Perhaps I am. Simon, the split personality. Who are you?
Joe Hudson. You remember your old pal, Hudson.
Hudson. Hmm. Well, I must admit you look like a hornet, but your lines aren't as nice. Look, if I'm your old pal, why don't I know you?
Oh, that's easy. We never met personally.
Well, how else can you meet? Ignore that. But if we haven't met personally or otherwise, how can I be your pal?
Oh, I was just being friendly. Besides, you got something for me.
I have?
Great little kidder, ain't you, Fats? Ain't he, pal?
Now I feel better. I'm a pal, too.
Look, I wish I deserved your delighted choice.
Look, but... just leave me have the stuff, and then I'll get...
Stuff again. What stuff?
Am I going to have trouble with you?
The door behind you is open. Why don't you use it, huh? That way, nobody will have any trouble.
I'll use it. I'll use it after.
After what?
Such like that, huh? Ever see one of these before?
I'm afraid I'm going to disappoint you, but the answer is yes, I have.
Good, good. Then you know how it works. It shoots bullets at guys. Guys who get bullet shot at them have a habit of dying.
Really? Well, then perhaps you'd better not shoot that gun at me.
I won't. So gimme.
So I ain't got. Well, that is, I...
That is, you ain't got.
Thanks, Louis.
Basic, I ain't a patient man. Hand the stuff over, or
I don't have any stuff.
Or you get shot.
I'd bleed.
Who cares?
I do. I hoped you might. However...
This could be a stall. This could be trouble, so you...
You can't shoot him.
Why not?
It's against the law. I read it in the papers. It's against the law.
Yeah, I believe you.
Oh, so that's okay.
Yeah, but I like doing things against the law.
Oh. Well, you could go to jail.
I already been there.
Well, for shooting somebody, they'll hang you or something.
If somebody told them.
Well, I would.
You would, huh?
I would.
So maybe I'd better shoot you first.
Well, I wouldn't want to deprive Mr. Templar of the privilege.
Well, Fats, it's your last chance.
Oh, not that phrase. Also, I still don't
know... So it looks like I'm going to break a law.
Hey, who did that? You did, you dope.
I did not. This here is a plan. But you won't get away with it.
Goodbye, Mr. Hudson.
Mr. Templar, who made with the artillery?
It must have been Sally. She's in the kitchen.
She can stay there.
She saved our lives, Louis.
Yeah, but maybe by now she's found out she likes to shoot guns.
Well, let's hope not.
Hello.
It was nice of you to frighten Mr. Hudson off.
I did?
You did.
I didn't hit anybody?
No.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Hey, I've got her. She's out cold.
Come on, I'll put her on the couch.
Yeah. Come on. It's a little late, but somebody ought to mention she is not a bad-looking dish.
You've mentioned it.
Looking for smelling salts in our bag?
No. Identification. Here's a driver's license. Her name is Sally Walters. Address 49 Arden Drive. Social security card. She's the secretary.
That's what I need. Take it back.
She's coming, too. Better put the bag back.
Yeah, but keep the gun, though. There's still some bullets in it.
No. We don't want her to know we went through her bag.
We're ashamed of ourselves?
We're going to pay her a visit.
She ain't home.
But she will be after she leaves here, and then perhaps we can find out what keeps the home fires burning.
Sally was in kind of a hurry leaving us.
So she was.
Mr. Templer, don't look right, Santa Claus chasing a blonde.
I'm not chasing her.
Technicalities will get you no place. Hey, this must be it. 49. What is she a secretary of? The Treasury?
I suspect this is where she works, Louis.
She works overtime, huh?
Yeah, and probably sleeps in. Come on.
I hope that nobody is peeking because they'll think Santa Claus is off schedule.
I think perhaps I can manage without the whiskers.
Yeah.
Ouch!
Now you look like an imposter.
Will you ring, Louie?
Okay. You know, this is the type house I got a feeling Santa Claus will have to use the servants' entrance.
Yes.
I'm Simon Templar.
You are?
I am.
There's nothing I can do about it.
Mr. Templar, all butlers are like him?
I doubt it. I think he's been practicing.
Haw.
Haw.
Well, good night, then.
I think not.
Would you mind removing your shoe from the door?
I would.
You might at least have shined it.
Humphrey, whoever is it at this time of night?
No one, madam.
Oh,
but such an interesting-looking new one. Santa Claus, you've lost your whiskers.
I haven't. They're right here in my pocket.
How nice.
Actually, my name is Simon Templer.
I'm Carla Worth.
This is Louis.
Hi. Oh, I mean...
Hi.
Be kind to the peasants type.
Did you want to see me?
Now that I've seen you, yes.
Well, come in then.
Thank you.
But, madam...
Humphrey, go away.
Yes, madam.
Humphrey's such a problem sometimes. Shall we? Nice?
Yeah. Fire in the fireplace, books on the bookshelves, port in that decanter.
Yes, would you like some?
No, thank you. I just wanted to be sure the accessories were all correct. Someday, maybe I'll find some other wine besides port in the decanter. I dream.
Simon, are you the one who found them?
It's beginning again.
Found what?
My jewels, of course.
Have they been lost?
Simon, they were stolen. You know that, don't you?
Should I?
I've heard of the saint, Simon. I didn't know he was also a Santa Claus.
Oh, it's a fleeting impulse. When were your jewels stolen?
This afternoon. You see, Claude, my husband, that is.
Oh.
Bought me them for Christmas.
Santa Claude.
Louis.
Sorry.
We decided to have the party this afternoon. We thought it'd be nice to have a quiet eve, so we did. The jewels were in quite a large box. There were quite a lot of them.
And?
Claude had hired a Santa Claus, but before the party was over, Santa Claus had disappeared. So had the jewels.
But there must have been some precautions.
Oh, there were several detectives. But the Santa Claus said he was going out to get some air while the party was on. He never came back. But he didn't have the jewels on him. The box was locked, and it was too large for the detectives not to have noticed.
I see. The name of the man hired to play Santa Claus was, of course,
Fats Borland. And who may you be?
Claude, this is Simon Templer. And Louis?
I know neither of them. Snoops, obviously. Get rid of them.
Claude likes to behave as though he were an emperor on occasion.
The box wasn't found anywhere in the house?
The jewel box, no.
The jewels were insured?
Naturally. And it's none of your affair. I shall speak severely to Humphrey. He should never have let you in.
I let them in, darling.
So now he's going to speak severely to her?
We'll go quietly, except... Mr. Worth, what is Fats Boylan's address?
I have no idea. Good night.
Good night, Simon, and I'm sorry.
So am I.
I'll show you out.
Thank you.
Wow, 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 wow.
Pronounced Carla Worth.
Yeah. What do we do now, Santa Claus?
We get into your nice, clean cab and... Hey, wait a minute, Louis. Now we're going to find out what became of Sally.
Simon.
Well, good evening, Sally.
I overheard. Fat's address is 17 Beale Street.
17 Beale.
Yes, I've got to get right back to the house before anybody notices. Goodbye.
An awful short visit.
But long enough.
Now we're going to visit Mr. Boylan?
I think so.
I hope he ain't so handy with a gun as the rest of his characters.
He may be, he may not be.
Now I'm all cheered up.
But there's one thing I'm sure he isn't.
What's that?
Fat.
Quite a change from the Waits dump. Now this is a dump.
Yeah, and Mr. Boylan would seem to be shy.
Mr. Templer, you said something about the one thing he wouldn't be was fat. Why, because he was called Fats?
Not exactly. Louis, I'm worried.
Hey, the door was open.
Yes.
Maybe that means our bird has flown?
Maybe. Come on, let's go in.
Okay. I ain't usually so poetical, but the light's on.
Yes.
And the room looks funny. Looks like a hurricane came to stay for dinner.
And remained for 6 months.
Somebody was looking for a jewel box?
And someone obviously didn't find it. The extent of the search indicates that. Nothing was left untouched.
It's a funny smell in this room, you know. A couple of funny smells.
Yeah. One's perfume and the other...
Gunpowder. Huh?
Gunpowder.
That's why I ain't been looking behind any pieces of furniture.
It really wasn't very far to look, Louis.
Huh?
It was behind the day bed.
Fats?
Fats, Louis.
He ain't doing so good?
He's dead. And Louis...
Yeah?
He wasn't fat.
Mr. Templer?
Yes, Louis?
We're being followed.
Since
we got out of Boylan's place.
Oh, that's interesting. Louis, stop the cab.
That'll make it easier for whoever's following us.
Exactly what I want.
Even on Christmas Eve, this shouldn't happen. Now what?
We get out. Don't look behind you. Start walking.
Yeah. This here is a nice, lonely street.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is home hanging up stockings. I wouldn't mind hanging up stockings myself. I Who do you think it is?
I think it's our friend Hudson.
Oh, I just lost 5 pounds. You mean the guy that was chasing Sally, who was all ready to shoot us until she made the explosion?
Neat reminder.
Oh, you think he wants our money or our life?
Possibly.
What kind of an answer is that?
In here, quickly.
Here. Mr. Temple, this here alley is full of garbage cans. It's
also dark.
You don't have to see garbage cans to know they're around. Hudson?
Yes. Good evening, Hudson.
What?
Don't turn around. I've got a gun on you.
Hey, I don't like it.
Louis, take Mr. Hudson's gun away from him.
Okay. Got it, Mr. Templer.
Good. Aim it at him.
Hey, now, wait a minute. You can't shoot me with my own gun.
Why not?
That ain't tactful.
What other gun could I shoot you with?
Your own. Hey, you mean you ain't got a... Oh, mister, you are a liar.
And on Christmas Eve, too. Hudson, who hired you to follow Sally and me?
It was my own idea.
Louis,
hmm?
Mr. Hudson isn't being friendly.
He ain't, huh?
He ain't. Therefore...
Hey, now, don't lose your heads, fellas.
We've lost patience with him, Louis.
We have?
Shoot him, Louis. He's beginning to bore me.
He's beginning to... I should shoot him?
Yes.
Fatal?
Fatal.
Okay. Except I don't know what my wife and 6 kids are going to say.
You haven't got a wife and 6 kids.
Now, wait a minute, please.
Louis, we're being cruel, prolonging Mr. Hudson's agony. Put him out of it.
Now, wait a minute. I'll...
Who hired you?
Mrs. Worth. Mrs. Carla Worth.
You quite sure?
Strike me dead. Don't strike me dead. Look, if she didn't, why would I say she did?
You have a point there. But why should she have wanted you to follow Sally?
Well, she had an idea. Her husband and Sally were kind of,
Decorating their own little tree together.
I couldn't put it more tactful.
I see. So if you got enough divorce evidence, Mrs. Worth could hold up her husband for plenty of alimony.
No.
No.
Oh, Mrs. Worth is the babe with the dough. Mr. Worth is a very well-educated bum.
Indeed. It's interesting. Louis, let me have the gun.
Yeah, here.
Wait, I told you the truth.
I'm sure you did.
No!
Mr. Templer, that's gratitude?
It's necessity.
Oh.
We need him out of the way for a little while. He's out of the way. Now,
Yeah?
Now we're going to find out who else knew that Fats Boylan was thin.
If we visit it often enough, I might even get accustomed to this joint.
You might also start confusing yourself with Grant. good evening, Humphrey.
I'm sorry the family have retired for the night.
Well, it is late, I know.
I wish to retire myself.
Why, Humphrey, you don't look 65.
Good night, sir.
Aren't you going to ask us in?
No.
Why, Humphrey, I thought you and I were going to sing Christmas carols together.
Let go of me!
Shut the door, Louis.
Okay.
I shall complete.
All right, but not now.
Mr. Templer, I'm going to wear that gun out, hitting people over the head with it.
And I couldn't have him warn anyone we're here.
Why, we're going to burgle the joint?
In a way.
Huh?
And a kinder description would be search the place, Louis.
Oh, for what?
Oddly enough, something that can't be seen or touched.
Sounds like a ghost.
Yes, and in a way it is. The ghost of a murderer.
Night before Christmas, all right, but a creature is stirring. A couple of creatures, us.
We've covered all the rooms on the other landing. Therefore, the bedroom should be here. And therefore, this should be someone's bedroom. Let's go in.
We're sleeping?
Now, if I can open the door softly enough and look in. Mm-hmm. Right through the window.
Yes.
The dressing room. Door beyond would be the bedroom proper.
Proper is not a word we're in any position to throw around.
We'll have to go in to the dressing room. Come on, Louis.
Okay.
Wait a minute, Louis.
Hmm?
Inhale.
Mr. Temple, I don't usually take breathing exercises in the middle of the night.
Louis.
All right. I'm inhaling.
Well?
Pipe you.
Mm-hmm. Familiar?
I could learn to love it, but no.
Well,
Then out we go.
You didn't care for that perfume.
It didn't tell me anything.
What do you want perfume should tell you?
Who killed Fats Boylan?
Another bedroom.
We go in?
Naturally.
For a bachelor, that ain't the word you should have used. I'm beginning to get worried about this. Supposing somebody screams.
Hold yourself together, Louis.
Okay. After all, like the poet says, strong heart never won fair maiden.
You mean faint heart.
All right, so for dinner I'll eat dog food.
Now. Another dressing room. Well?
Hey, Mr. Templar.
Yes. The same perfume we noticed. Uh-oh, don't be frightened.
Why, Simon, what are you doing in here?
Louis and I have been testing perfumes.
It's the middle of the night. You awakened me.
I'm sorry. I'm even sorrier about something else.
What's that?
The perfume you use is very distinctive, Sally.
Am I supposed to say thanks?
No. Because the last place Louis and I noticed it was in Fats Boylan's room. Minutes after he'd been killed.
Oh.
Not good, Sally.
You're making all this up. No.
This bottle of perfume will be evidence.
But I didn't kill Boylan. You must be joking about that.
I don't think a jury would find it funny. You knew about Boylan stealing the jewels. You must have helped him.
I didn't.
But then you found yourself being trailed by Hudson, who'd been hired by Mrs. Worth. You were afraid he'd discover the connection between you and Boylan. That's why you came to my apartment.
No.
Oh, yes. You hoped I'd throw Hudson off, perhaps frighten him. In the meanwhile, you could get to Boylan, get the jewels from him.
That isn't true.
But when you got to Boylan's place, you found him already dead, and the jewels gone.
I didn't.
It would be much better for you that way.
What do you mean?
You wouldn't be liable to a first-degree murder charge.
But there were detectives here while the party was going on. Boylan couldn't have stolen the jewels. They saw him leave. He didn't have them.
He did have them. He was playing Santa Claus, and he was a thin man. Santa Clauses, as Louis pointed out to me earlier tonight, are fat. Therefore, Boylan entered this house wearing padding underneath his costume. He left it with a large jewel box in place of the padding. That's how he did it, Sally.
You're smart.
You found Boylan. You knew his address. Therefore, you'd hired him in the first place. And therefore, also, a jury would believe you'd killed him unless you tell us who did.
Well, all right. I'll tell you.
Really no need, my dear.
Oh, Claude.
Hey, Mr. Temple, tell him to point the gun someplace else.
Mr. Worth, point that gun someplace else.
I prefer this direction. You were saying, Mr. Temple,
about the jewels.
The jewels were insured. Therefore, you, Mr. Worth, arranged to have them stolen.
Indeed.
In that way, you could retain the jewels, the insurance money as well, and not worry very much whether or not your wife divorced you. Clever.
Boylan is dead.
How true. You had to see to that, didn't you? Otherwise, he might have blackmailed you for the rest of your life, or for whatever money you got out of the entire crooked deal.
I can see two other deaths. Yours, your friend.
And Sally? You going to kill her, too?
That depends, I should think, on Sally.
Claude, I never knew you intended to kill anyone.
There's no need to play the ingenue quite so strenuously, my dear. You were in on most of it.
But not murder.
I'm afraid Mr. Templer's pessimism is justified. I shall have to include you. But however did you get on to her, Templar?
Her perfume. To be precise, this perfume.
Hey, you got him in the eye.
Yeah, I hope this gets him someplace more effective.
Mr. Templar, the trail of unconscious bodies you're leaving behind you tonight, if laid end to end...
Yes, Louis?
...would look terrible.
Simon.
Yes, Carla?
You've been very sweet. Even without your whiskers, you've been sort of a Santa Claus to me. May I?
Oh, with pleasure.
Well, I never knew Santa Claus could kiss like that.
Santa Claus is no saint.
Yes?
Oh. Hello, Louis.
Mr. Templar, you better put on your whiskers. You've forgotten all about Mrs. Winterbottom?
Mrs. Winterbottom? Oh, well, the hour is past midnight. The tots have undoubtedly tottered off to bed by now. Louis, you may tell Mrs. Winterbottom...
I know. that the saint ain't no Santa Claus.
have been listening to another transcribed adventure of The Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. Now, here is our star, Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, all of us who live in the United States are aware of the spiritual values of American life, our factories and machines and luxuries. But there is another side to American life, a side made up of spiritual values. Our country was founded upon faith in God. In the Declaration of Independence, it states that men were endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Thus, religious faith is part of the very foundation of American democracy. And one of our most precious national heritages is freedom of worship. By exercising this freedom, you and your families can enjoy the spiritual pleasures that come with church or synagogue attendance. Moreover, your religious leaders stand ready to give you their help, whether you need personal or family guidance. And if you suffer the loneliness natural to a newcomer to this country, the churches of your faith will welcome you. We all know that without spiritual values, the other advantages of American life have little meaning. Without faith, the family and the community become unstable. Without faith, the individual denies himself the peace and guidance of religion. The doors of your churches and synagogues are open to you. The freedom to worship as you please is yours. And so America's religious organizations invite you to find yourself through faith and to come to church this week. And may I wish you all a wonderful Christmas, and for the world, peace in all the years to come. This is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at this same time for another exciting adventure of The Saint. Good night.
The Adventure of the Saint was written by Louis Vittie. Our cast included Mary Shipp as Sally and Betty Lou Gerson as Carla. High Everback was Hudson, Ted Osborne, Claude. The butler, Stanley Farrar. Louis is played by Larry Dotkin. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, is a James L. Safier production and is directed by Helen Mack. Vincent Price is soon to be seen co-starring in RKO's production of His Kind of Woman. All you Saint fans will be glad to know that the Saint comic books are on sale at all newsstands. Your announcer, Don Stanley. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. For your Christmas Eve listening pleasure, there's another broadcast of NBC's Sunday hour-and-a-half extravaganza, The Big Show. There's a whole Christmas stocking full of stars, including Tallulah, Jimmy Durante, Ed Wynn, Charles Boyer, Robert Merrill, and many more. Tonight also means your weekly visit with the Harris family on the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. Be sure to hear this special Christmas program later today on NBC.
Happy holiday, happy listening. Happy holiday, happy listening. NBC wishes you a season of good cheer. A merry, merry Christmas. And a happier
for listening to Ricky Jin's Old Time Radio. Join us again next week at the same time on the mighty KONR. Don't forget to play What Will Mrs. Thompson Say at LGAP.com. Now, stay tuned for the Sasquatch Report.